A reading from James, chapter 1. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church. My name is John Winkleman. I am a member here at Church Without Walls and a part of the elder team. I'm married to Kim, my wife Kim. We have two sons, Danny, who is a sophomore at Sac State, our younger son Jacob, who is a junior at Berkeley High and hopefully with the youth ministry wherever they're at right now. As seems customary of late among our speakers, I'm going to tell you my Enneagram number. I am an Enneagram 6 with a 7 wing. So the 7 wing, that's fun, John. We're not going to talk about him today. We'll talk about him some other time, or, you know, maybe at like a happy hour or something like that. But I'm going to talk a little bit about Enneagram 6 John, the John who has a very strong need for security and certainty. An Enneagram John who has an invitation to grow in faith, a faith which demands not knowing, not being certain, qualities that don't come easy to me, particularly as it relates to my work, my profession. I have over 20 years of marketing agency experience, starting with a small branding agency actually here in Berkeley, which is what brought me here in the late 90s, plus a handful of others that I've worked at over the years. That is until recently, when I experienced a career disruption of sorts, a trial. I was laid off from my job this last fall and joined the ranks of the unemployed. Today we're continuing our Lenten series, Finding God in Unexpected Places, through personal stories of members of our congregation on surprising encounters that we've had with Jesus. And today I'm going to share my story of unemployment and finding God in the trials that we face. Our passage today from James's letter, I think in particular has resonated with me during this time, in that James speaks about how we face a number of different trials. And there's, of course, a range of trials that we all face. It could be from chronic, ongoing struggles, temptations, perhaps, that we have, through sudden, intense traumas, you know, perhaps life-threatening events. For me, losing my job this last year in the aftermath felt like a significant trial. It was unexpected, and it was scary for me. It was a blow and a testing of my faith, as it targeted some deep insecurities and fears that I have, and it targeted my sense of identity as it relates to my profession and my work. A little backstory. A couple years ago, I joined a global digital marketing agency based in New York that had an office here in Oakland. The agency had been on my radar for a number of years. I had actually submitted resumes and had applied for a few jobs in years past. But a position finally opened up in Oakland that felt spot on with what I wanted to do and was a step up in seniority and responsibility than what I had been doing. The perks and benefits were attractive. There was a generous time off policy. There was this stated approach to valuing the individual, investing in their professional growth, respecting their life outside of work. And at the time, I was working with a different agency, a branding agency, working with a very large client, a well-known company with global reach based in Korea. That job was an incredible learning experience for me, one in which I built very strong relationships with coworkers and clients. Yet, the work and the travel were super intense. And there were internal dynamics at play and events that seemed to limit my job growth and advancement potential. So needless to say, when this other job came up, I enthusiastically accepted it and joined a few weeks later. However, soon after I joined, things started to change. Within my first week, it was announced actually all the offices would be closed. We were going to be working remote fully and globally. I started working with teams mainly on the East Coast and working East Coast hours, never meeting most of them in person. Several changes were made in how we were just talking about ourselves and the services that we were delivering that just became very confusing and frustrating for everyone. The economy, of course, became challenging. Staff morale dropped, and layoffs started happening. Multiple rounds of layoffs were becoming more frequent. And so while I really enjoyed working on what I was working on, the whole situation started to feel more precarious. And I remember the day pretty vividly this last October when I, on a Monday morning, I logged on to my laptop to start the day, and a calendar invite popped up from my boss's boss for a brief catch-up in about an hour with no agenda and no context. And I actually had messaged him just prior to that, and so I assumed this must be related to what I was messaging him about. And so when the time came, I logged into Zoom. He was there along with a member of our HR team, and I said, I'm sorry, I think I may not have the right meeting. And they actually said, no, this is the right meeting, and I was given the news that today was my last day. There was nothing I did wrong, they assured me. This was not happening due to any fault of mine. There were shifts that were being made, you see, in the team, and a redefinition of the role, more changes, and another restructure were happening. And I didn't have the skill set they needed going forward. The rest of the call was a blur as the HR person started rattling off details about severance and health coverage. I was told that Slack and email would be deactivated after the call. I had 24 hours to place any personal files I had on my laptop in a folder and place that on my desktop for export, and then they were going to wipe the hard drive clean remotely. And I was also reminded that they were monitoring my activity and that my severance was at risk if I exported anything that was proprietary in nature. So after an awkward thank you and goodbye, the call and my employment were terminated. And my screen was blank. And the blow was abrupt. And that whole experience felt so impersonal and so clinical. And the sudden finality of it all, the silence, was striking. No Slack messages, no emails, no calendar invites, no Zoom calls to join, no work, no deliverables to produce, no expectations of me, no use for my services. In his letter, James says, "We should consider it pure joy whenever we face trials." To which my response is, really? Like, this does not feel like a very joyful experience. I'm not sure where to find joy in this. But as we keep reading, James outlines what we as believers in Christ stand to gain amid the loss, amid the trial, the pain, the suffering, through the testing of our faith. James says the testing of our faith produces perseverance. Perseverance makes us mature and complete in our faith, and we will not lack anything. So losing my job was testing my faith, big time. After telling Kim the news, I went for a long walk. My mind was racing, and a range of feelings and emotions filled me, from just the shock of it all, given the timing, the shame of being unemployed, let go, expendable, not needed. You know, my mind was even racing about, well, even if I didn't do anything wrong, there must have been not enough things I did right. What were those things? What could I have done differently? What were my coworkers being told? How do I respond to questions of, why were you fired? And then anger was setting in. Like, if I didn't have the skill sets needed, why didn't I hear about this earlier? Why am I hearing about it now? I felt betrayed. Fear was another emotion then that started creeping in. Fear of the unknown. What was going to happen next? How will I rebound from this? Can I rebound from this? Am I too old to rebound from this? And then anxiety around finances. How would we continue to support our lifestyle here in Berkeley? We want to stay and support our kids through school, but can we? Will we need to move? What will that look like? And then I think then the dread of a tedious job search, looking for work, networking, all of the work that comes with finding work. Felt heavy. And this triggered the worst, I think, instincts in me as an Enneagram 6, sending me down the rabbit hole of fear and anxiety, finding myself doom scrolling the news, you know, and absorbed with things like AI and ageism in the workplace, the latest layoffs, stubborn inflation, high interest rates. And all of this just left me asking, Jesus, where are you in this? The silver lining is that I suddenly found myself with a lot more free time and margin. And I spent more regular time in the mornings in reflection and prayer. And at first I was like trying to figure out, well, is there a program or some sort of plan or something like that? And I actually just ended up like reading the daily readings of the Catholic Church, just feeling the need to like just be led, not with any particular plan or the church's plan, I suppose, in mind. Meeting with others, receiving consolation, encouragement. Many in my life group asking me, how is it with your soul? Spending time reflecting on work, thinking about what has given me joy? What's been a drag? What have I learned? What do I want to do next? And as I started settling into this new reality, I felt God's Spirit moving and other feelings coming to the surface, like an odd sense of relief that there was something about the place I had worked that became very different than what I thought it was. And maybe it wasn't really totally aligned with what I wanted to do. And maybe I didn't have the skill set, or at least the skills that I wanted to use and that give me joy to do that job. And then even a sense of peace in that, although fleeting. And in remembering how Jesus has been faithful to me, how Jesus has been faithful to our family, entering through and working through the unexpected other trials of our past, including health issues and family challenges. And then I think a budding sense of hope coming out of that as well, in terms of feeling like God has something for me. What is that that God has for me next? And I think then this sense of joy that James talks about. And it's not a happy, happy, joy, joy kind of feeling, but something deeper that comes with a growing trust that God is good all the time. And there's no reason he wouldn't provide for me, provide for our family again. I found this quote as I was preparing for this talk. This is from it's a Christian blogger that I found online. And I actually really liked it in terms of just this description of joy. And he says, joy is a deep sense of well-being that may at the same time embrace sorrow, tears, laughter, anger, pain. It is choosing to live above feelings, but not deny them. Joy is a particularly Christian response to life since it depends on faith in God's sovereignty. It is quiet and grateful and inwardly delights in the goodness of God. And I found myself leaning more into this truth. And in doing so, detaching more from my fears and anxieties. They're still there, but I'm choosing to set them aside for a bit. I'm choosing to not give them power and control over my emotional life. And I'm choosing to embrace the goodness of God. And even when I doubt that God can and will provide again, he has the grace to meet me in that unbelief. James says, the testing of our faith produces perseverance. Perseverance, the determination, the drive to take steps forward in the face of difficulty, disappointment, loss, and grief, as hard as that can be. So I started picking up the pieces and started taking steps forward. I worked with an outplacement firm that my former employer was paying for that helped me prepare a job search plan and updated my resume. I searched job boards, applied for open positions, tailoring my resume ad nauseum and cover letter to get through AI filters and in front of actual human eyes. And I came up with a networking plan and started reaching out to friends and colleagues, sharing my news as uncomfortable and as awkward as it felt, and asking for their help and introduction to others. And I got myself organized, and I created a spreadsheet. For those that know me, you know that I love a well-organized and robust spreadsheet. And that's not the whole thing. It keeps going. It's the little OCD in me. To track all my contacts, to track all my outreach efforts, my calls, keeping me organized, on track, ensuring I'm following up with people. And the more I reached out, the more conversations I had, the more introduction new contacts were made, the longer this became. And yes, I was ghosted by many. Some didn't respond. But I had good conversations with many people who wanted to help, who were complimentary of my background and experience and were encouraging. And by taking these steps, I found that many recent relationships that I had were being renewed, long dormant relationships were being revitalized, and some unexpected connections made along the way. A woman I worked with probably starting 15 years ago or so got in touch with her. She's now in Portugal, but connected me to the head of brand for a major tech company here in the Bay Area. A guy I worked with 30 years ago, we were right out of school at the time. He and I just saw each other recently for the first time in 25 years. We got together in person. He connected me to someone, a senior marketing leader in his company. And there were many other kind of fun and unexpected connections made along the way. The job search process is frequently compared to a roller coaster. There are many ups and downs. There's optimism and hope when responding to the right job posting, talking to a recruiter, having an interview, and it's mixed with discouragement and disappointment with every rejection and every closed door. And my search was no exception. I continued exploring, connecting, talking, pressing forward, even as applicable jobs were few and doors were closed. But I believe that through perseverance, this perseverance that James is talking about, that every contact made, every conversation I had, I realized and I saw that I was finding and encountering Jesus in my spreadsheet. His fingerprints were all over my spreadsheet. And I gradually felt a greater detachment through this process from my fears, anxieties, disappointments, from the emotional highs and lows of the roller coaster. And I gradually experienced a greater attachment to the promises of God, his goodness and his provision through the relationships, old and new, that he was bringing up for me. And I was becoming more hopeful, more joyful, and fully expecting God to move and provide. And as I continued my process, as I continued to find God in the unexpected, my job search recently took an unexpected turn. As word spread through the conversations that I was having across my network about my status, my former employer, the branding agency, the one I had left to join the digital agency that laid me off, they reached out to me. And what began as casual conversations evolved ultimately to an offer to come back in a more senior role than what I had left, a role that I had aspired to at the time but felt was out of reach. And I learned that some of the challenging dynamics have changed somewhat since I left, and that my experience gained plus my past knowledge was valued to them. They were looking for someone senior that could seamlessly step in, and they said I was uniquely qualified for the job. And as I learned more, I felt a stirring of excitement and saw how this job was aligning to what I was aspiring to, what I had outlined in my search plan. And so I decided to go for it. I accepted the offer. It's set up as a contract position to see if things work out. And I started a couple weeks ago, and it was and has been this kind of wonderful mix of old and new, feeling like I'm picking up where I had left off while on a steep learning curve and learning what's happening since I've left. A homecoming of sorts with former coworkers, people that I have relationship with and shared history with, and meeting new people who it feels like I've worked with them for some time. And while some things have changed and others have stayed the same, there are some new challenges to take on as well. And I do have my work cut out for me there. But I feel like through this trial, I have felt this healthier detachment from work and a greater attachment to the goodness of God. And that has helped shape my perspectives and attitudes and perhaps better equipped me to start this new job. And taking on a more detached, healthy detachment attitude of, here's a door that's open, let's walk through it and see what happens. Here's a chance to forge different relationships with those that I have history with and to set some healthy boundaries. And here's an opportunity to see God in a familiar yet unexpected place. How might he work in me and through these relationships, through these real life people that I know in the flesh, not on Zoom, during this time and season? James says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I think it's worth noting that I agreed to do this talk back in December, before I had this job offer. Starting this new job certainly gives this story a nice, neat ending with a little bow attached. But I'm not sure if this is the end of this story. This isn't a story of God answering my prayer. This is a story about God meeting me in the process, not the end. God met me in the trial, not only in the resolution of the trial. And I think that process for me is going to continue. I believe God used this latest experience to test and strengthen my faith muscle a bit more and give me a fuller perspective in seeing God at work, perhaps in the process making me a bit more spiritually mature, a bit more complete. And while my period of unemployment has been graciously brief, this trial experience is not necessarily time-bound and may continue. It may be part of a larger long-term trial that I've had and will keep coming back to as it relates to work and my identity in my work. And perhaps it's a chapter in my story that continues to unfold, a story in which I will continue to find God in the unexpected and work out my faith with him with fear and trembling. And for that, I take great joy.